This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Dimitri Ravenos will join us in just a little bit. He's with Barrett Sports Media, also does a lot of stuff for WREL Out and About. I will ask him about Top Gun Maverick, which I have not yet seen, which made another $1 billion or whatever it did at the box office last week. It's killing it. Every single person I have talked to has seen it, loved it. I'm not even that big a fan of Top Gun, the original, which was fine. I'm not knocking it. I'm not saying it was bad. It was okay. But this is just absolutely crushing it at the box office. So there's a lot of cool stuff either on TV or in the movies. Are you a Jurassic Park guy?
I love the originals. I'm not going to lie. The most recent one that came out, was it 4 years ago?
Which one was it? Jurassic World?
Jurassic World Dominion, I think.
I have no idea.
I haven't watched that one.
I haven't seen any of them.
I haven't even seen the original. Hold on. You're going to sit there and tell me, look me in the eye, that you have not seen the original Jurassic Park movie.
Correct.
I'm just gonna fire this.
And there are people.
The wall of sound is.
I've got no time. There's no doubt about it. No time.
And there are people listening, going, "Yeah, Dennis, where you been?"
No, I got no time.
Where you been? Gold doesn't see movies.
Yeah, but that movie came out 30 years ago.
And what makes you think I've changed that much? I mean, I've seen some movies. I haven't seen.
Yeah, you've seen like Dogma, Chasing Amy, and Clerks.
I've seen those.
All movies that came out after Jurassic Park.
It's not like I haven't seen any movies. I just don't see a lot of them.
You didn't see that one.
Chances are, if it's animated, I've seen it. This wasn't animated, was it?
No.
Okay.
That'd be cool, though.
It would be very cool. All right, let's. I've watched the show Dinosaur Train. On TV?
I don't even want to know.
I have issues with Dinosaur Train. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Well, you have no reason to. You don't have kids. Anyway, I have questions about the third dinosaur child. It's not like the others. I got questions. I got questions for Dinosaur Mom. I'm just saying. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Dennis was appalled to the point of cutting short a conversation when I mentioned that I had not ever seen Jurassic Park. We will let my friend Dimitri Ravenos, who is here, Barrett Sports Media, among other places, to also pile on if you want, Dimitri, that I have not seen Jurassic Park. And we're going to talk a little bit about Jurassic World, which I believe hits theaters, if not, I think Friday is when it comes out. Are you also appalled that I have not seen Jurassic Park?
Yeah, Adam, hang on for me. Dennis, can you believe this nonsense? This is insane.
I know.
Never having seen Jurassic Park.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Never saw
it. It is literally the movie that made me fall in love with how movies are made.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. Now, listen, I will tell you that Empire Strikes Back is still my favorite movie, but the first time I was 11 years old when Jurassic Park came out, and that initial scene where they see the Brachiosaurus for the first time,
sure,
my little head could not even begin to fathom how they did that. And I had to know. And that is how, or that is the reason that I ended up studying film in college.
How about that? Well, I'm sorry if I disappoint you.
Listen, here's the thing, Adam. Literally every Jurassic Park film after that one, the worst movie you've ever seen.
All right, well, how about this one, Jurassic World?
This one, the previews, which I think, have they been airing since the Super Bowl?
I thought the movie had come out like 2 months ago.
Right. So this is very much my kids' Jurassic Park franchise. They cannot wait to go see this movie on Friday when they get out of school.
Right.
I keep telling my wife, like, this looks like it was made on a dare, right? Like, this looks like that someone bet their friends they could not make the worst movie ever. This looks awful.
All right. Well, then I won't see it. It will definitely convince me that I'm okay not seeing the original.
No, the original is wonderful. Every other one is not good.
Well, most sequels are not good, although it does appear as I transition. Top Gun Maverick has gotten more, I don't know if it's critical acclaim, but more word-of-mouth acclaim than maybe any movie I have talked to people about in, I don't know, the last 15 years. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, it's getting critical acclaim, too. I mean, it's at like 98% positive reviews, according to Rotten Tomatoes. Now, I mean, look, there are varying degrees of positive reviews, right? There are people that go in and say, no, this movie is wonderful. And there are people that say, I mean, is it great? No, but it checks every box you want a Top Gun movie to check. But the general consensus is you are not going to leave disappointed. I will be honest with you. I have not seen this movie yet, but I'm interested in seeing it because I don't remember anything about the original Top Gun. I've seen it three times. It made no impression on me. It might be generational. I don't know. But I keep hearing people say this one is so much more than just the plot is, hey, look at that fast plane.
Look, here's my view, and I wanted to actually broaden this into a different, maybe a slightly different conversation, more about Tom Cruise movies than about this particular movie. Because it's not even in my top five Tom Cruise movies, the original Top Gun. I mean, personally, Top Gun and Cocktail to me are the same movie. I liked Cocktail better. Right?
Yeah, I'll give you that. I wouldn't have called them the same movie, but Cocktail is definitely more.
Well, what's the difference?
No, I mean, yeah, I guess it's true. I mean, there is as much underwear in both of them.
I mean, Risky Business is the greatest one. I actually liked All the Right Moves, which got his name is not Hayden Fry. Craig T. Nelson is starting football coaching, right?
Right.
He was a football coach there, and then he was, of course, Hayden Fry in on TV.
The legendary Tom Cruise coaching tree.
I'm with you. Top Gun was fine.
Right.
I just wonder, is there going to be an oiled up volleyball scene?
I swear to you, Adam, I said this to a friend the other day. If it doesn't have an oiled up volleyball scene, if it doesn't have playing with the boys blaring as they are playing sand volleyball, I don't know that we can call this a Top Gun movie. Well, maybe a Tom Cruise movie. I don't know.
I'm pleased that you called it sand volleyball. Because that's true. It's basically everywhere in the world, except when you're actually on the beach, it should also be called sand volleyball. But about Tom Cruise movies, he makes good movies. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of him personally, but because he's kind of a nutcase, but movies generally are fun.
You really have to. Well, not only are the fun ones fun, I would say some of the prestige ones are genuinely like hold up. Like Born on the 4th of July is excellent. I mean, it's a wonderful movie. Magnolia is a wonderful movie for that particular genre of films. I don't know what you call the early Paul Thomas Anderson movies. It's everybody is talking to each other at once kind of movies. But I really like that movie a lot.
Dimitri Ravenos is here joining us on the Adam Gold Show. Yeah, I mean, look, he does fun thing. The Mission Impossible movies are all fun. Nothing is based in reality. Nobody is hanging onto the outside of a plane. But, I mean, he pulls those off. All right, let me ask you about a couple of TV shows. And I'm going to start with the one you mentioned second, The Boys, which I have also read incredible reviews about. And Dennis touted this earlier. Your thoughts on The Boys and why people should check this out?
Okay, first two seasons are excellent. I really enjoyed the first two seasons. Very funny. This is a show for people that don't know. Superheroes are basically a large corporation, and they operate very much from the standpoint of they can do whatever they want, and what are you normal people going to do about it, right? They're not exactly the good guys in this show.
That's corporation. That's exactly what corporate America is.
Yeah, exactly. I will tell you, season three, which dropped, I think, at the end of last week.
Yeah.
I'm having real trouble getting into, because this is the thing about The Boys, and this is something that I think parents particularly lose sight of when we talk about superhero anything. This is not a show for kids, right? Like, this is a hard R kind of show, and I feel like The Boys' problem was they started at a 10, and the only way to go to an 11 is just pure shock and less story. So I like the first two seasons a lot. I've had trouble getting into the new one, though.
So are you saying more gratuitous than anything else?
Yeah, like there is a scene within the first 20 minutes of the first episode of season three that involves a small person. How do I say this? You know what? I'm just not going to say it. I'm just going to say it's very disgusting.
Okay. I appreciate you self-editing.
I still remember the Capitol Protocol.
That's right. For those people who aren't aware, Dimitri Ravenos used to patrol these hallways in the morning. All right. What are your thoughts on Obi-Wan? This is a show I will not watch. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I know other people will.
I am bouncing back and forth on this one because there are some individual things that are really fun about it. Like, it is, I really like with the revival of Star Wars that we are leaning into moments of Darth Vader at his very most badass. Like, that's when Obi-Wan is great.
Right.
The bigger story, it's not really connecting for me yet. And I'm hoping the new episode that came out today, we start to get a little bit of clarification. I don't want to dive too much in because I don't know who has seen what, but the bigger story so far, the main plot point, I'm having trouble understanding why the bad guy is the bad guy in this.
Gotcha. I'm also a Harry Potter guy. I'm not really all that interested in the Dumbledore angle here. Well, then maybe I'll watch it and it'll get me involved, but I didn't like the magical creatures. Those things were terrible.
I didn't like any of them. I think I only saw the first two and just decided, like, my kids aren't with me. I don't have to do this to myself.
I saw the first one. I did not watch the second one because the first one wasn't very good. All right. Now, you tweeted out that you were coming on this program, so I'll let you close on this, and I know you have to go. Under the Banner of Heaven, what is that?
It is so awesome. It is this murder mystery show on Hulu. It stars Andrew Garfield, who was the star of the terrible Spider-Man movie. And it takes place in 1984. He is a member of the LDS church, and he is investigating a murder from someone that he knows from his church. This person's wife and daughter have been killed. And, like, it is just what makes it so good is I love murder mysteries where every episode ends making you say, oh, I don't know where this is going. And so far, every episode has made me say, I don't know where this is going. The other thing that is really fun in this, did you ever happen to watch The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No.
On Netflix?
No, I don't watch TV. I don't see movies. The answer to almost every question.
Why did you have me on this?
Because I don't see them. So all right, we can help people out, Dimitri.
All right, touche. well, for those of you that did watch The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, an incredibly dumb, funny show. A man who plays Kimmy's best friend's dad, who had just one of the goofiest, stupidest roles ever, plays a very serious detective in this show, and it is messing with my mind in the best way.
Is this Kimmy Schmidt from what was the Full House?
No, that was Kimmy Gibbler.
Oh, Kimmy Gibbler, my fault, because then I would be upset that I hadn't seen it. She was a fascinating character. Dimitri Ravenos, as you are, sir, a fascinating character. Next time we speak, we will talk Alabama football.
Oh, Adam Gold, you are just tugging at my heartstrings.
I know. I know how to push the buttons. Dimitri, you are the man. You can follow him on Twitter at Dimitri Ravenos. My friend, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good, buddy. Take care.
You got it, Dimitri Ravenos. See, like, so you guys had to have a conversation on your own about me not watching Jurassic Park.
Yeah, we did. And that's on you.
Steve, spoiler, they don't have sand volleyball in oil.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
But there's a couple of things that either happened or we have that are going to happen. We haven't talked about it all today. For instance, we have not talked at all about tonight's NBA Finals Game 3 in Boston.
Not.
Right? So let's spend a couple of minutes talking about that. And the other day we talked to, I guess it was Tuesday, we talked to Brendan Whitted about Sunday's Game 2.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, as great as the Warriors were in the third quarter and the fact that they just blew Boston completely out of the water in that quarter, even though they did that in Game 1 last Thursday, they just didn't sustain it, ended up losing the game as Boston did it to them in the fourth quarter. I can't get past the fact that Klay Thompson has been a non-factor. And Klay Thompson doesn't have to go for huge numbers, right? But Klay Thompson can't be a zero.
No.
And two games into the finals, Klay Thompson has been a zero. To the point where, did you watch the game Sunday night, Dennis? Did you watch the Celtics and Warriors Sunday night?
I caught the last 20 minutes of the game.
Okay, here's what
at
was,
a hockey game I was playing.
Okay, here's what struck me as odd is that it's garbage time,
mm-hmm.
and Klay Thompson was still on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's a reason for it, and Steve Kerr is playing the long game here. It didn't matter to the outcome of the game. Steve Kerr is trying to get Klay Thompson going. Because Kerr, he knows that if the Warriors are going to win this series, they are going to need something from Klay Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And not just in one game. Like, it's been a conversation piece. And they asked Klay Thompson, you know, what do you think? Because Klay actually said that he goes back, if he's in a slump, he will go watch some of his best games. He'll find them online.
Yeah.
And he'll watch those games to just give himself positive reinforcement, which is fine. So they asked him, you know, which game have you watched? And he talked about closeout Klay. Game 6 against the, who was it? Against, wasn't the Grizzlies, was it? Whichever closeout Klay, maybe it was the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Game 6, closeout Klay. So he watched that. Like, awesome. Here's the thing. They don't need that Klay. They don't.
No.
They need somebody who's not 4 of 17 or 4 of 19 or whatever he was. Klay Thompson was a drag in Game 2. The Warriors won in spite of Klay Thompson. Draymond Green does not have to add offense. Draymond Green provides other things. Klay Thompson must provide offense. They're not winning the series unless Klay Thompson can do that. So it's important. That's what really struck me about even Game 2, that the Warriors won in spite of Klay Thompson. Like, if Klay goes out and shoots 6 of 11 and has 14 points, that's not awesome, but that's perfect. They just need his complementary offense, and they need to know that it's there. Because if he does that, then, yeah, down the road, they'll probably get a bigger game from Clay.
Yeah, he was 4 of 19, 1 of 8 from 3.
It was terrible. Like, and I watched the entire game. Some of the misses were, I mean, horribly bad. Like, front rim, hit nothing, long, a bank shot that goes over everything. It looked like it was his first game. Not, you know, game two of a finals where he's played for the last half of the season. So they need a productive, they don't need a great Klay Thompson. They just can't afford a bad Klay Thompson. I think Boston probably wins tonight. And if you're the Warriors, your job is to get it home. Your job is to win once. Remember, in the finals in the NBA, they will play three games in Boston. Mm. There's not the travel in between games, between 4 and 5, 5 and 6, and 6 and 7. You're going to play three games in Boston, and then you're going back to Golden State, San Francisco for games 6 and 7. Okay, so Klay needs to play a much better game. He doesn't have to be awesome. He just can't be bad, and he was bad. As for last night in Tampa, the Rangers, this started in the third period of game 3. The Rangers were the better team through the first half of the game. I thought Tampa was really good in the first period, but I thought the Rangers were also really good in the first period. I thought that was an even period. And I remember, this is game 3, I remember after that game, or after that first period, the prevailing thought was, that's all there is, mm-hmm. Tampa? And I'm like, it was a pretty even period. I thought it was a good period. Tampa just didn't score, so it was scoreless. Then the Rangers got 2 power play goals, led 2-0. And Tampa got one back when Kucherov scored to make it 2-1. Then they tied it on a power play goal from Stamkos in the third, and then they won it late. But I thought in the third period it had flipped the other way, where that became the Tampa Bay Lightning's game. Last night, it was a low event game. There weren't a lot of shots to go around for either team. Tampa had like almost 50 shots in game 3.
At 52 on goal,
yep. In game 3. I mean, I don't know what the totals were for the entire game, but it wasn't a ton. It was about half that last night in game 4. But what Tampa did is what Tampa does. And I keep saying this about the Lightning. Nobody locks it down like the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Rangers were non-threatening. Yeah, they missed Ryan Strome. He did not play. Took the warm-up skate, but did not play. Yep. Then they lost Philip Hedel midway through the second period, mm-hmm. I believe, to an upper body injury. Both Strome and Hedel they'll be game time decisions tomorrow, back in New York for Game 5. Barkley Goodrow, former Lightning, by the way, is hobbled a little bit, but he finished the game. But Tampa's defense completely eliminated the Rangers' best players. And here's the thing. We saw this in the series with Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, no offense to the Rangers. And, like, I think the Rangers have been sort of underrated as a Stanley Cup. We talked about this with John Forslund yesterday. I think the Rangers are excellent. But what they really have been more than anything is opportunistic. Their power play has gotten them goals and won them games. And that's how they beat Carolina, was the power play. Scored 7 power play goals in the series. That was how they did it. When they're not scoring on the power play, they ain't scoring.
I think they scored in their 2 wins. They scored on the power play in both of those games.
Right. And their 2 goals against the Lightning in game 3, power play goals.
Yeah.
The goal last night was actually a 6-on-4 goal.
That's right, because they pulled Shesterkin.
Right. It was a 6-on-4 goal. They scored. Again, they're not scoring at even strength. Tampa is shutting them down. That's a problem, unless Tampa keeps taking penalties. I'm looking forward to game 5 tomorrow night. I like kind of like Tampa.
Tampa Bay had 30 shots on goal yesterday. New York 35 on goal.
Well, that number blew up in the third period. There were a lot of shots then because late in the second, those numbers were 17 for the Rangers and 11 for Tampa. That's very low event type of a game. All right, we have those two things. One more thing to get to. Did you see the Derek Carr comments about Colin Kaepernick?
I did, yeah.
I know we have Derek Carr. We have a Carr soundbite. Mm-hmm. And so it's about 2 weeks ago now where Kaepernick worked out for the Raiders. But now the Raiders are assembling for a minicamp. So they asked Derek Carr about the potential of having Colin Kaepernick as a teammate.
You know, just watching him and what he did in college and getting to know him and talking to him on the phone and things like that. I've told you guys, I've loved my time with him. I think he's a great guy. He's been great to be around. I've enjoyed being around him, talking with him, competing against him. And so, like, Josh told me they were doing it and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I literally said the same thing I'm telling you. I was like, I've enjoyed my time around him. I love him. I got him and I would get along great. You know, my brother knew him a little bit from San Francisco. He's like, I love Colin. He's been, he's awesome. And so I think Colin would just have to answer more questions than all of us would have to, why hasn't it happened? Why this, why that? But for me, it would have been just fine. I enjoyed my time with him.
Colin Kaepernick's not going to be a distraction.
No.
If he signs, right? If somebody offers him a contract and he signs, he's not going to be a distraction. There will be an initial wave of questions that Kaepernick will have to answer, and he will. And then everybody will move on. It'll be about football. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Derek Carr is also speaking from a position where he knows he's the quarterback. Colin Kaepernick's not taking Derek Carr's job. Mm-hmm. I mean, Derek Carr's the quarterback. He's one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, Colin Kaepernick's not taking his job. Now, there are a lot of other quarterbacks that if Colin Kaepernick were signed, they would be on notice. Derek Carr is not among them. But, again, it's just interesting to hear from a player who knows him that Kaepernick would be more than welcome in their locker.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.